Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 293 of Geek Town Radio. I am back this week with Matt. How are you doing?
I'm very good, David. How are you?
I'm very, very well, thanks. We've seen quite a lot of each other this week with various different shows. Yes.
Yeah.
We did your fifth anniversary of Entertainment Talk show this week as well. So
yeah, big episode yesterday that we did with, who was it? It was five of us, weren't it? Robert, me, you, Bex, and Gray were all on that. So that was a lot of fun.
Was good fun. I need to get Robert to come on here at some point because you're traded most of the co-hosts so far. So I need to get Robert over on here. So what have you been watching the last few weeks then?
Game that I tried playing, which it was now added to the PlayStation Now thing. I haven't rented or bought this game. Technically, I guess rented it in a digital sense. But the Avengers game, which was added to PlayStation Now. If you don't know what PlayStation Now is, it's basically, it's a sort of like Game Pass, but not exactly quite like it. They've got a selection of PS2, PS3 and PS4 games. And they added the Avengers game last week or so. And there was this like advert thing on the cross-media above PlayStation, and it said you can sign up for a free 7-day trial. I think you can still go and do that if you want to, not just for the Avengers game but any of the others that are on there.
Right,
it's something like £12 a month if you want to actually pay for it like monthly and stuff. But you know, as I tried it before, I tried it when the beta came out, and I tried a bit of the story. Really did not like it at all. I remember talking about it before on this show and many times on my own shows just for the very different bad bits of news that had come out of the game. But I just had a thought to myself, and I thought, okay, the game's been added to PS Now. I can sign up for the trial and then switch the thing off. So I'm not spending any money. I'm only spending time, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I thought, I never did try the multiplayer. So let's just give this game one last chance to have some kind of redeemable quality about it. Still wasn't happy about the gameplay, but I thought, you know what? I never did give the multiplayer a try. So I'll just be fair. I went in there and I had one simple idea. You know, they have the Golden Gate Bridge section at the start and you play a little set pieces each Avenger.
Yeah.
The one that actually impressed me the most was Captain America. I kind of enjoyed, not like massively enjoyed, but kind of enjoyed the way that he used his shield. So I thought, okay, there's only one thing I want to do, is I want to go into that multiplayer, go to the, I think it's called the War Table or something, select a mission, play as Captain America, and go from there. Loaded up the multiplayer, and there was three options. Actually, there was four options. There's a door that you can go into, which has got nothing in it to interact with, so I'm not quite sure what the point of that room was.
Right.
Because you're going around, I think it's the Quinjet, you put your like handprint on this door for like security and stuff. You go in there and there's nothing in the room. There's some people in there, but you can't interact with anything. There's no sort of interactive point of that room. So that was one of the options. The other two, because Hawkeye was added, who by the way apparently plays almost the same as Kate Bishop, because they're both archers, but apparently they play almost exactly the same, just with sort of,
so it's a sort of
a different skin, yes. I suppose. Yeah. So you can have like a little dialogue with him, and then Black Widow is standing there. You can have a little dialogue with her. Camilla Khan is also on the lower floor and you can interact with her. Just a conversation thing. It didn't like trigger a mission or anything. So then there was one other room I could go to, and it was a tutorial room. It makes you choose Tony Stark. So even if you've got no interest in playing as Iron Man, which I didn't because I wanted to play the game as Cap, it makes you do that tutorial as Iron Man.
Right.
So the game actually forces you to do that as Iron Man before you can do anything. And I tried like quitting the tutorial midway through and trying to do something else, and it would only let me go back to that. So I thought, okay, I'll get through the tutorial. I got through that, and then the missions opened up. Don't understand why you'd make the player go through. Fair enough if you're brand new to the game and you don't want to play the story, but you still want to teach the player. If you want to still teach the player how to play the game, I understand the tutorial from that standpoint. But if you've got no interest of playing as Iron Man, which I didn't, let them choose between the unlockable Avengers. It's just a tutorial. So, because supposing you're like teaming up with your mates that night and you're like, okay, I'm going to play as Black Widow, you play as Hulk, and then you play as Thor or something. I'm guessing then all of the team has to do the tutorial as Iron
Presumably,
Man, even though nobody's going to maybe choose him. I don't know. Very, very strange. I got to the mission eventually, played as Captain America. I turned off the matchmaking because I wasn't interested in playing with other people. I just wanted to jump into a match sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So you can turn off the matchmaking and it gives you AI controlled Avengers. I had like Kamala Khan or Miss Marvel and a Hulk with me. That was fine. So I went in there, did that, started playing the game, and just the same thing happened of like a generic feeling. It just didn't feel very good to play. Yeah. But, you know, I went in there. I gave the benefit of the doubt. I hadn't tried the multiplayer. So I went in there and tried it. And I kind of came up with the same results. So there was that. I mean, I even said this on one of my shows. It's not a case of, you know, because Spider-Man's my favorite Marvel character. He is going to be on the game, I think, soon-ish, but he's not there yet. Even if you added him and, like, I could play as this character I've got childhood nostalgia for, it wouldn't change the gameplay. It's not a case of who you can play as, because I had the interest to play as Cap. It's not a case of the characters in the game. It's just a case of the game itself. I just haven't enjoyed it particularly. So I remember you said you'd got the game. How did that kind of go for you?
I played a little bit of the story, and I mean, I enjoyed it enough, but just didn't grab me that much. I don't know. I might go back and play through the story a bit more. I have zero interest in the multiplayer, getting any of the extra characters or anything like that, but I might go back and play through the story a little bit just to see what it's like. But I've got it on Steam. It was relatively cheap. It was at a sale, I think, and I got it like half price or something. So
yeah, I've looked on like a couple of forums here and there and some Facebook chat and stuff. The general consensus for online is that it's just not pulling its weight, so to speak, which is a big shame. I mean, Marvel's one of the biggest IP in the world, and you've got such a great roster of characters. It's just the gameplay for people that's let them down. Mm. So there was that. In much more positive terms, Love, Victor, the two most recent episodes, because I didn't quite get around to watching it last week. No, nothing against the show. I just got kind of busy and stuff, you know, doing the fifth anniversary stuff kind of kept me very busy. So it's episode 8 and 9 are the two most recent ones. Episode 9 went out last week, Friday. So I watched them back to back. The show's really started to break me emotionally. I think that they're doing a really, really fantastic job with this. I mean, the thing that's kind of getting to me most, which is something very personal to me, is because the main thrust of the story is Victor, with the help of some of his friends, he's essentially trying to figure out his sexuality. He thinks he might be into guys, but he's not completely sure. I won't spoil what he decides later on in the story, because he has got to a kind of decision with that. But, you know, again, he could change his mind if he sort of wants to. But the main thrust of the series so far has been, can he sort of accept himself personally, you know, to have like a different view of that? What is like his family going to think and his friends going to think, and how is he going to get on with? Because there's this guy, I think he like works with him at this restaurant place, and like he's kind of gotten feelings for this guy, but this guy's he's already like got a boyfriend, so he's very conflicted there. And then this girl takes interest in him, so it's an interesting kind of minefield for the character.
Yeah,
that is something I can very much relate to as well, with trying to figure out my own, you know, sexuality and that kind of thing. It's been kind of an interesting build up, I'd say, to episodes 8 and 9. There's been some very interesting things before that, but it was really building up to a particular story beat, which again I won't spoil. Just the last episodes really, really got to me in a very good way, because if they're doing that and it's affecting me, then it means it's very, very, very good. It's been really, really good, the show so far. And they're only like 30-minute episodes. They flow really well, like pacing-wise and stuff. For those of you that want to watch that, that's on Star Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Have you seen any of it at all?
I haven't, no. I didn't see Love, Simon either. So, it was Netflix, was
it? It's like a prequel film kind of thing. You don't necessarily have to have seen Love, Simon to watch Love, Victor. There is connections there, but you can kind of, like, once you maybe finish season season one, you can go back and maybe watch the film. But both of them are very good. The film and so far the series is really, really good. So there's that. Should we move on to this weird topic we've got?
Yes. It's a show that neither of us watch at this point, hilariously. But yes, this is so weird.
So basically, there's a guy on YouTube called Alex Myers. I'd recommend you check out his videos. He does a very good job with what he does. The main ones I watch of his are the Riverdale ones. He does about 10 minutes a month on the show. Now, it's sort of, has it just recently kind of come back?
Not that long ago.
Yeah, and he did an episode, I think it was last week or the week before. And how can I even sort of, there's this hint at the end of one of the recent episodes. And one of the characters for the series is talking about aliens.
Right, yeah.
You found something earlier about like an abduction of Jughead or something?
Yeah, apparently there's some sort of alien abduction storyline with Jughead going on. I can't believe how off the rails this show have got. Although I think that they've just got to the point where they could just basically do whatever they like because the audience is there. The audience that are stuck with it at this point aren't going to go anywhere. So they can pretty much do whatever ridiculous thing they want to do and just carry on. But there was a number of stories I saw kicking around about, if you like Google Riverdale aliens, there seems to be a number of stories with people are very confused about this latest alien storyline with Riverdale. So yeah, I dropped out in the D&D goblins and ghoulies or whatever it was that I dropped out at that point.
Was that season 3? Because I dropped out about the same point.
It was season 2 or season 3, I think.
I think it was 3, yeah.
But yeah, I dropped out at that point because it was getting quite ridiculous even then. Mm-hmm. But now
I didn't think Riverdale would go to aliens. Like, that's an entirely different beast. Even with how ridiculous the, I'll just say G&G, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
That was somewhat connected to some weird stuff happening at the school.
Yeah.
I mean, you've essentially gone from, because let's not forget the first season was a murder mystery. You know, who killed, was it Jason Blossom? So you've gone from a murder mystery to the X-Files.
Yes, apparently.
Kind of, with a mixture of weird things in between that. But yeah, essentially this guy, Alex Myers on YouTube, he sort of does like comedy videos from Riverdale. He doesn't take it seriously because you can't anymore.
Yeah.
But he sort of like, he looks at certain scenes of the show and just sort of tries to work out what the writers or whoever is kind of thinking of at that point. There was an interesting line actually in the newest video in that. Betty, she was talking to something about Archie. I'm forgetting the names of the characters now. Archie, and they're trying to have a relationship or something. And she says something along the lines of, I don't want you to like consume my darkness or something. It's like, do you think you're a Sith Lord? Or that's something that you'd hear like Darth Vader say, isn't it? Essentially like come to the dark side kind of thing. So I don't know. I just thought it was fun to sort of bring up. It's interesting because I don't even have to watch the show to be aware of it. But I could just watch these little monthly comedy videos on it.
How little plot there must be that he can do a 10-minute recap thing once a month.
That's true as well.
Anyway, we shouldn't really be slagging off a show that neither of us watch. I'm sure if you're into
watch
whatever you like. We don't judge, but yes, it's not a same thing that either of us have really carried on watching at this point.
It's not a case of judging people that watch the show or the show. It's just a case of laughing at what it's become. So anyway, move on to something that takes itself very much more seriously. Oddworld Soulstorm.
Yes.
It's interesting really with the history of, because these are the Abe games from the PS1 era. I've really, really liked the treatment of 90s PlayStation games recently. We've had a lot of remasters and remakes over the last few years because we've had the Crash Bandicoot series came back. Spyro's had the original trilogy remastered. I don't know all of the Spyro games, but I think the original trilogy is like the sort of near and dear kind of games, the games that people sort of treasured in that. So those have been remastered. Tony Hawk has come back with the remasters of the old two games. Final Fantasy VII had a big remaster. Abe has come back now. They've remastered the first and the second game. Although, speaking of this, second game is called Oddworld Soulstorm. So the first game was called Oddworld Abe's Odyssey, and the second one was called Exodus. There was a game that came out, I think about maybe 3 or 4 years ago, called Oddworld New and Tasty. That was basically the remaster of the first game.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing with these games, because the Oddworld games, they haven't just purely remastered the originals exactly. Like Oddworld New and Tasty, it was 2014 that came out.
Oh,
that was a re-imagined reimagining of Abe's Exodus, which was the original game. So they kind of created new games, taking some of the elements of the originals and created new games out of them. So this is Soulstorm is a sequel to New and Tasty, which takes gameplay elements from Exodus and Munchie's Odyssey as well. They're a really interesting way of kind of remixing old stuff. It's a bit like sort of, you know, how when you get people that do cover versions of songs, or they take samples and
situation.
Yeah, there is a certain amount of that to it. So it's quite interesting what they've done with it.
Yeah, because it's sort of like the same story and stuff before, but with like new additions and kind of like expanded it. So yeah, not technically like a remaster or remake, more sort of like an expansion of the second game. This game's absolutely fantastic. One of the things they do really well in this game is they introduced crafting and sort of looting, not in the way that you'd loot in like Destiny or whatever, not to that sort of way, but things that make sense within the context of what Abe is. You're not going to like be disarming the Sligs and like using an RPG as Abe or using like a minigun or something. You're getting like little bottles and rags and bits of string and stuff to tie enemies up. Just these little bits and pieces of equipment that Abe can then, you know, make a bomb out of or something maybe. But you wouldn't get 50 bombs where you can just chuck them all over the map and, you know, kill everyone and that's it. You have to be very careful with your resources, which I learned that the hard way yesterday. I ended up running out of bombs and things. So you got those. You can like search bins and dumpsters and lockers and things. The cool thing with lockers as well, you can also hide in them. So if you're on the same level as a Slig and he's sort of coming towards you, it makes sense that you'd be able to do that, because if you can search the locker, why wouldn't you be able to stand in it? The funny thing is with that, I got to this new part yesterday of it and I had some Madukans with me. Madukans is the race that Abe and his friends. They're sort of human-ish, but different, like alien sort of types. The objective is basically you get them to follow you and you have to rescue both Abe and them and sort of save the day. There's a funny thing yesterday I got to where there was like a bunch of lockers on this level and you double tap square to, you know, get in the lockers and all the other Madukans kind of rush around and try and get a locker each. It was great. And that adds the added stress because you sort of think, okay, even if Abe is clear where he is, are the other lockers okay to get into? Are they going to get caught when they sort of go in?
Yeah.
And then you got to be really careful with that. So I've really, really enjoyed what they've done with this. It's something as simple as just, you know, crafting bottles and stuff like that that we wouldn't have necessarily thought of before to put in the game, but it doesn't sort of break the game and make it become Call of Duty or something, you know?
Yeah.
So I've really enjoyed what they've done with that. So
that's cool.
Yeah, that's what I've been up to. How about you, David?
Gaming wise, I'm back on Planet Zoo because the new update and the new content pack came out. So I've been playing around with the new zoo. I had a zoo previously, which I'd built, which had all the animals up until that point in it. And the save file appears to have got corrupt on that one, which is mildly annoying. So I've now gone to start again and I'm building a brand new zoo from scratch, which I'm planning to put like all the animals in. So I'm going to do an all-in-one zoo. So I'm building that at the moment. It is going to take a while to build through, but we'll see how far I get before I get bored of it. But I'm having fun using a lot of the new bits and pieces because they've added, as well as there's new animals, there's like education things which weren't there. They went in, I think, the patch before last and stuff. So there's lots of new areas and bits and pieces that you can play around with in that game. And there's more water features and things that you didn't have before. They've done a lovely job with that game. I really enjoy playing around with it and building stuff.
Can you know, with those sorts of games, can you get like a game over if you don't do well? Like, can you get sort of sacked?
Sort of. It's very difficult to do. I mean, I'm playing in sandbox at the moment because it's really just about building stuff.
Okay,
And you can turn off everything in the sandbox. So you can like turn off the animals' deaths, you get unlimited money, you know. In this particular instance with what I'm building now is it's literally just me building a zoo in sandbox. There is a franchise mode where you have got to make money and you've got to be much more careful about managing the animals and laying out the zoo. And you can technically go heavily into debt in a zoo like that. Although if you look at some of the online guides and things, it's very, very, very difficult to actually do that. In terms of actually going bankrupt, it's quite difficult to put yourself in that sort of position. It's reasonably easy to kind of keep a zoo going. The bigger challenge is getting some of the gold rewards, because there are some sort of tutorials, but they are pre-made maps which you can go in and you get bronze, silver and gold awards depending on either how fast you do something or expanding the zoo in a way that they've asked it to be expanded. So certain amount of animals, certain types of animals, that sort of thing. So there are a wide variety of different kind of gameplays. There's like time trials, there's a sandbox mode, there's the franchise mode, there is the pre-made zoos where you have specific targets of things you've got to do. So there's a good selection of different bits and pieces that you can play around with. And you don't have to have great building skill to be able to do it, although it is fun to be able to just build. I mean, some of the things that people have put on the workshop are absolutely outstanding. They're just incredible pieces of artwork, some of them. You know, people building real world zoos in there. There's people building all sorts of just crazy, crazy major. I mean, there's one guy that I've been getting a bit of attention recently because he built an entirely vertical zoo. So it was one structure that just built upwards and had all the animals in it sort of on levels on top of each other, which is completely nuts. So yeah, there's some crazy, crazy things that people try out in Planet Zoo. But
I just wondered if it was because it in like FIFA and stuff, if you don't win trophies or like a player's not happy with their contract or something, if you do that too badly, you can actually like get sacked. So I wondered if it sort of worked the same way.
I don't think you can actually get sacked, but you can get to a point where you have no money. You know, you can run out of cash.
Yeah.
Certainly in franchise mode, and you could run out of cash. And if that's the case, then you end up just kind of closing the zoo and having to open another one. So, but it's quite difficult to get to that point. TV wise, though, I watched Thunder Force, which is a movie that is on Netflix. It went up on Friday. Part of the reason I watched this is because Phil Eisler did the music for it. And you know, if you've listened to the interviews, we've interviewed Phil many, many, many times. He's a wonderful, wonderful guy and a great composer. Phil did the music for it, which was one of the reasons I watched it. But also, it's Melissa McCarthy and Ben Falcone, who are husband and wife. And Ben wrote and directed it. And Melissa stars in it. It's a wonderfully silly superhero film, basically. The premise is that it's a world where there were these sort of cosmic rays that have given superpowers to a number of people. But due to a genetic quirk, the people that got superpowers were all sociopaths. So they all end up being supervillains rather than superheroes. So these people, these supervillains, have been kind of left because there are no superheroes to just sort of run wild across the world. And they're causing all sorts of problems. So Melissa McCarthy's character and her friend, played by Octavia Spencer. Octavia Spencer's character, Emily, is a scientist who developed this process to give superpowers to regular people. Melissa McCarthy's character ends up getting the process herself as well. So they end up forming this super team together called Thunder Force. It's just a very silly superhero movie. It's just really fun. And I really enjoyed it. It's not taxing in any particular way. The soundtrack kicks ass, as it always does with somebody like Phil. It's got, I mean, he did a lot of recording with a lot of like quite heavy rock musicians for it. And he's been posting videos of that. He seems to have had an immense amount of fun doing the music for it. But the film itself, it's got some other great characters. You've got Jason Bateman playing a guy called Jerry the Crab, who has crab arms. You've got Bobby Cavalier in there playing William the King Stevens, who is like a senator. There's another character in there called Laser as well. He's one of the big bad guys. And there are various, very silly supervillains in there. It's not particularly serious. It's kind of poking fun a bit at the superhero genre. And yeah, it's well worth watching. If you want a couple of hours of just silly entertainment, stupid fun, it's well worth going to watch. It's on Netflix, that, if you want to go and watch that. But yeah, it's a very fun, silly superhero comedy film if you want to go and see that. In terms of other TV, I've really been finishing things off. Flight Attendant, I finally got to the end of. Absolutely loved the first series of that, with the odd little misstep of there's a sort of reveal right in the final episode, which I thought was a slightly odd twist. But apart from that,
I think I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah it's, there's one character,
a little bit weird.
Yeah, one character that suddenly comes out of the woodwork and you're like, that's a little bit weird, but okay. But in terms of the overall arc, I love the way they put together. Kaley Cuoco's amazing in the lead role. She fits that character so well, plays it really, really well. The flight attendant attendant sort of follows this party girl flight attendant who is out in, I can't remember which foreign country it is, but she's, I think it's Thailand, and she's out there on a trip. She's on a sort of overnight stay. She ends up sleeping with one of the guys who was in one of the passenger seats on the plane and wakes up next to his dead body. And it's sort of how she handles things moving forward from there. It's a really kind of funny, but really well put together murder mystery drama. It's got a wonderful amount of twists and turns in it. It's just really entertaining. Keeps you guessing from episode to episode. It's all on Sky on and Now box sets if you want to go and check that out. But I really urge you to watch it. It's coming back for another season, I think, as well. It rats that first season off quite well, but I think they set it to a place where there are a couple of threads they could pull on that would kind of take it moving forward.
Is there any particular reason why Now TV is now called Now, or they just
everybody
was rebranding, so they decided to do it as well?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know whether they're moving into something other than just TV. I don't know.
I mean, they do sports and films and that, so I guess maybe that makes sense.
Possibly.
Although they've been doing that for ages anyway, so it's not like a new development.
Yeah,
so.
Unless they're going to move into games or something, I don't know. But for some reason they've rebranded it to Now and dropped the TV bit, which is stupid as far as, I mean, it makes it more difficult to kind of talk about because you've got to say Now streaming service rather than just Now TV.
Because imagine if you're recommending a show to someone, they say, okay, what's it on? And you say Now.
Yeah, it's like, what? Now? Well, but where? Now? Yeah. It's like the old who's on first joke.
I've had those conversations about Peacock. I've said about things that have like been, you know, aired on Peacock and stuff, and some people are like, what the hell's Peacock?
Yes. Yeah,
I mean, it doesn't sound like a streaming service. It sounds like I'm talking about just an animal.
Yes, I mean, there is a reason for it being called Peacock, but yeah. I finished that off. Also finished off Resident Alien, which is the Alan Tudyk sci-fi comedy, mystery comedy thing. Again, wonderfully enjoyable. I think it ends really strongly. It's coming back for a second season as well. That's been renewed for a second season, and they end that in quite a nice place as well. The entire premise of it is basically alien comes to Earth, ship crash lands, finds himself having to take human form, and ends up becoming the town doctor. And that's the sort of basic setup for it. But there is the kid in the show that is a 9-year-old boy, and due to a genetic quirk can actually see the alien's alien form rather than his human form. So this kid is completely freaked out because, you know, he's got to go to the doctor for something, and suddenly turns up and there's this alien treating him and nobody believes him because they all see his human form. So
that would be a different experience, certainly.
Yes. So that is really funny because there's this sort of ongoing battle because the alien realizes that the kid can recognize him and might blow his cover. So there's this ongoing battle between this kind of grown alien and this 9-year-old kid, which is just hilarious and really, really funny. And there's lots of other weird and wonderful characters in this kind of little town that he ends up in. It's just a wonderfully fun sci-fi. It's a great little comedy. I'm really glad they're bringing back for another series. I think Alan Tudyk's perfect in that role as well.
Is that a sci-fi US show?
Yes, it is a US sci-fi show. It goes out on Sky One over here, but it goes out on Sci-Fi Network in the US. I would urge you to go watch that. That's Resident Alien. It's really funny. And Big Sky came to the sort of end of its first major arc. They've got a couple of threads that they could pull on, and they are going to have to because it is continuing. It is actually going in straight into episode 10 because it had a bit of a break in the US because it got picked up for a number of extra episodes after the first 9. It is going to carry on straight on Star over here, but it had a bit of a break in the US. So we get episode 10 straight away though. So we've sort of caught up to the US run of it because it goes out on ABC in the US. But really, really solid first 9 episodes for that. And it wraps up that kind of first arc reasonably neatly. Yeah. I'm very interested to see where they go with the rest of this because, you know, it's sort of, I think he's going to have to take a slightly different direction maybe for the rest of it, given where they ended up with it. I don't want to sort of give away any spoilers for it because there are some huge, huge spoilers in that show. But just really interesting from that, from the end of the first episode, which has a real like, what the hell moment at the end of it. From that point on, I've just completely hooked on it and really enjoying it. I can see why it's been such a massive, massive hit in America. And really, really loving that. That's on Star over here. You've been watching this as well.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. I'm just gripped to everything that's happening in the show, pretty much. It's not just like one thing kind of going on either. There's like a few different subplots as well, which is quite good. You can kind of see a little bit, not in terms of predictability, but in terms of, okay, once it's kind of finished this little arc, you know, there's sort of like other things they could explore outside of it, but to do with the same arc, if you get what I mean.
Yeah.
It seems like there's a big network of this thing that's happened. I don't want to give specifics, but I'd say last episode was really good, but they've all been really, really, really good. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Yeah.
It's been awesome.
Yeah, it has been great. And I'm glad that we're just kind of going to get to continue straight on. They've been pretty good, actually, in terms of how Star has lined things up, because the same thing happened with Solar Opposites. Second season of Solar Opposites ran straight after the first.
Mm-hmm.
So, they seem to have lined things up pretty well, because things started a bit later, but they seem to be running them straight from like first season into second season. They've lined them up pretty well. Mm-hmm.
Can someone tell Star that there's other days than Friday, though?
Yeah, that is my only problem.
There's now like 7 episodes of TV that get dumped on Friday. Because there's that, and then Dollhouse, and then Love, Victor, and then Next, and obviously, you know, Falcon Winter Soldier, and there's a lot. You sort of look, I look on my continue watching on any other day of the week, and it's empty, and then Friday it's just bang, and it's all there.
Yeah.
I get the idea. It's sort of like, okay, you know, you finish work on the Friday, and then you have the weekend to watch them all, but there are other days that you can use.
Yeah, and the problem is that Netflix tend to dump stuff on a Friday, and
a lot of streamers do. Yeah,
yeah, and Amazon do as well. So you end up with like nothing all week, and then they dump everything on a Friday. So you end up watching them like throughout the next week. And I sometimes forget, you know, going backwards and forwards, because Apple dumps stuff on a Friday as well. I do wish they would spread them out a little bit more. It's I don't know why they do that. It doesn't really make any sense to me. But yes, at least they, you know, that they're there. You can go and watch them. I just sometimes forget. It's like I forgot that For All Mankind was coming out weekly on Apple, and then ended up missing about 5 episodes, so I had to binge through like 5, which was great. You know, it's nice to be able to do that. But yeah, there are other days you can release things other than a Friday. That would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all the stuff we've been doing this week. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So we kick off the TV and film news with renewals, cancellations and pickups. One quite big cancellation this week. MacGyver has been cancelled after 5 seasons. It will be coming to an end. Mixed reaction to this being cancelled. Some people very upset. Some people saying it's never been the same since George Eads left last season. So I don't know. I didn't really watch the show at all. So I'm not sure whether it was any good or not. I mean, it's been through a few issues because, of course, they fired Peter Lenkoff, who was the person that was behind that whole sort of procedural verse on CBS, various allegations made against him, so they ended up firing him. They've now canned that show, and Hawaii Five-O, of course, was part of it, and that went a few years ago. So be interesting to see whether that sort of survives. I mean, Magnum's still going, that's part of it. NCIS LA is still going, although one of the other NCISs has gone. New Orleans has gone. They are talking about making NCIS Hawaii, which possibly is going to come in, but MacGyver is going to be ending. That's the 5th season, which is currently going out in the US, starts in May over here, and that will be the final season. Do you watch any of these? I don't know. I saw a couple of episodes, but yeah, no, I didn't really watch it. In terms of renewals, Star Trek Lower Decks has been renewed for a 3rd season before the 2nd season is even aired, so that's good news. That will be back. I love the first season of this. It was wonderfully fun and fits in quite well with the Star Trek canon, even though it's a silly animated show, but it works really, really well. McDonald and Dodds, which is one of those ITV procedurally things that has two police officers solving crimes, that is renewed.
I've heard of that before.
Yeah, no, well, there's like 20 million of these things that Sky do with various different actors in the lead role, but it's one of them. time. That's coming back for a third season. Although I think their seasons, I'm using seasons generously in that because I think it's like two or three episodes at a time. But that is being renewed for a third season, so that will be coming back. And Duncanville, which is the animated show, which I think Channel 4 aired the first season of.
One of those two, yeah.
Yeah,
E4 or Channel 4.
Or it went out on both at some point. But they've only aired the first season. The second season's been out, I think, in the US. They've renewed that for a third season, so that is coming back. Pickups. Mythic Quest is returning for a new full season on the 7th of May. But prior to that, they announced last week that on the 16th of April, it's coming back for a one-off special, which is a sort of post-COVID episode. Because Mythic Quest, if you haven't watched it, it's set in a sort of World of Warcraft game development company, except the entire company is full of like just people who are completely nuts. It's from the people that make It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's hilariously funny. It's very much, if you like things like Silicon Valley or that sort of show, it's got very much that level of humor to it. I really, really loved the first season of this. They put out a special which they made during COVID with them doing a lot of things on Zoom calls and that sort of stuff, which was really hilarious and absolutely heartbreaking in places. It's one of those that seemed to do that tugging at heartstrings so well in that. I really, really loved that COVID episode that they did. I thought it was just superb. But if you've not seen Mythic Quest, it is on Apple TV at 16th of April for their sort of one-off special, and then it comes back for a full season on the 7th of May as well. Superstore is returning on the 19th of April. That's for the sixth and final season. That's 7:30 on ITV2 on the 19th of April. That is returning. I'm going to try and watch some of these at some point, but I haven't got around to it yet. I know you're a huge fan of this show.
Yeah, the first five seasons are on Netflix for those of you that want to catch up, because of course ITV can't like hold the old episodes and that.
Yeah.
The finale went out a few weeks ago, I think, on I can't remember the name of the network, but anyway,
it's NBC,
went out,
I think, and, isn't it?
NBC, yeah. And I didn't read any spoilers or anything, but the general consensus was that people were fairly happy with
good.
It. So I'm looking forward to that. Be interesting. But, you know, a lot of these sitcoms have started kind of coming to an end, and you know, you had Big Bang Theory on 12 seasons and that, and some of the others that have ended. So,
yeah, Superstore ended now, Brooklyn Nine-Nine coming to an end this season as well. Which they are back to filming again, I believe. So, they are a bunch of sitcoms ending, but I'm sure there'll be new ones coming in to replace them as well. So
yeah.
14th of May, they just announced today that Domina, which is this new ancient Rome epic saga thing, it's sort of ancient Rome told from the perspective of the women in ancient Rome, that is starting on Sky Atlantic, and now that's on the 14th of May. That's landing. There is a trailer up for that on the website as well. That's called Domina. Rebel, which is the new Katie Siegel show based on the life of Erin Brockovich. So it's sort of in the same way that Bull is kind of based on the life of Dr. Phil, this is sort of kind of based on the life of Erin Brockovich, using it as inspiration. That's Katie Siegel, who is amazing in Sons of Anarchy and a bunch of other things. That's coming to Star on the 28th of May, which is, of course, a Friday. That is the first season of that. They're running a few episodes behind the US because it had just started going out in the US. I guess that will be to take some of the US breaks in scheduling out, I would think, is probably what they're doing with that. So 28th of May, that's going to start.
Disney Plus is starting to get very, very full up now. Before it was just like, okay, Hamilton, Mandalorian, and old Disney films. And now there's so much on there now. So
Yeah. It seems to be that it's going to be a depository for ABC shows, Hulu shows that aren't sort of already in exclusive deals on other things. And FX series as well are going to be coming to that. So
Fox?
No, because Fox isn't owned by Disney in the US. The Fox channel in the US is not owned by Disney. It's owned by the Fox Corporation, who owned like Fox News and all that sort of stuff. It's owned by the Murdochs. Whereas Fox in the UK is owned by Disney, just to confuse things. I do wish they would change the name of Fox UK to either back to FX or to ABC or something else, just so it's not associated with the Fox brand. around anymore. But yeah, it's just to confuse things. Fox UK is owned by Disney. Fox US is not owned by Disney. Although because of the fact that there was a bunch of programming on there that was included in part of the Disney deal, there is a bunch of programming that was made by 20th Century, or what was 20th Century Fox, with things like Family Guy and that sort of stuff. There was a bunch of that stuff which does air on Fox in the US, but is owned by Disney, just to confuse things, because it was stuff that was part of the Disney programming deal, but the channel itself wasn't. So they still air a bunch of Disney shows, which is a bit weird.
Okay.
Rebel, which is an ABC show, that is coming 28th of May on Star and Disney Plus in the UK. And there was another little bit of news, which I suspect will mean absolutely nothing to you, but Nash Bridges, which was a cop drama from the sort of, I don't know, ended in the early 2000s, I think. But that is heading into production as a movie with Don Johnson returning. It was Don Johnson was the lead of that sort of show. So that is has a movie revival coming with a bunch of the original cast, including Don Johnson, coming back. And they're sort of hoping to turn that movie into a kind of backdoor pilot into an actual series. So we'll see how the movie goes. But and we don't know where that's going to land over here. But if you're a fan of Nash Bridges, if you like that show and you used to watch it, then there is a movie heading into production. And then there will be, it's a TV movie. And then they hope that there will be a series coming out of that, depending how well that movie goes down. So we'll have to wait and see for that. On to some Star Trek news, because there was quite a lot of Star Trek news. They did a sort of online convention thing last week and did a bunch of panels. So there's a lot of that sort of stuff. If you go to StarTrek.com, you can see a load of those panels, and they're on YouTube, I think, as well. But they did announce a few interesting little bits and pieces about some of the shows. Star Trek Picard Season 2 has announced the return of John DeLancey as Q. Now, as we know, you have a show called Discovering Star Trek, because you really haven't watched...
That's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm guessing you aren't really aware of Q.
I've heard bits and pieces about Q over the years.
Yeah.
But not like completely sure as to who exactly it is.
Q, he actually showed up in the very first episode of Star Trek Next Generation, and the very, he kind of bookended that show. He was putting the human race on trial, was I think was the sort of basis for it. But the Q are a species of omnipotent and immortal non-corporeal entities who inhabit limitless dimensions of the cosmos known as the Q continuum. So they're basically peerless sort of gods, and they can manipulate time, they can manipulate their surroundings. So it allows, when a Q shows up, for them to do really ridiculous, like silly, out of the world episodes of, you know, they've had one set in like Sherwood Forest, and they've had all sorts of like really odd, weird things where Q is a sort of, he's kind of a trickster. He's a bit like Mixopickalix in Superman universe. So he can kind of manipulate dimensions and time and play around with the crew and stuff. And he's shown up in Voyager, I think, had a Q on it. And he's also shown up in Deep Space Nine. I think he was actually in the animated show as well. He was in Lower Decks. So he pops up every so often, but they have announced that he will be one of the main characters by the looks of things in the second season of Picard. They played a sort of little trailer for the second season of Picard, but it didn't really give much away. There wasn't any real kind of footage. It was showing desks and other things. So it does make it sound like that they're going to be playing around in time a little bit, which will be interesting, with them sort of going backwards and forwards through time, which, given that there is a Q involved, makes perfect sense, because that could be kind of Q sort of taking Picard through areas of his life, or, you know, I don't know, but we'll see exactly what happens. But coming in 2022 to Amazon Prime, they announced for that. You watched Picard, didn't you?
I watched, I think, about four or five episodes and kind of fell off of it a little bit.
Ooh.
So maybe I'll go back to it though.
It's a tricky one, Picard, because Picard is tied way more into Next Generation, obviously, Discovery, or, you know, so you maybe need to know a little bit more of history of the show with Picard, which is possibly why it didn't hit quite as well with you as it might do with somebody that was a huge fan of Next Generation. So that's sort of understandable. It is worth watching, though. You should go back and kind of do Next Generation, but that is quite a trek, because they've got seven or eight seasons of that, and there were
like
22, 24 episode seasons, so there's a lot to get through in those. They are worth watching, but they they've said Picard will come in 2022. Don't know exactly when, but they are going to do that in 2022. Discovery, they also released a proper first look trailer for that. That's the fourth season. It is premiering 2021, so presumably it's going to be sort of towards the end of this year at some point. Fourth season finds a newly appointed Captain Burnham and the crew of the USS Discovery facing a threat unlike any that they have ever encountered. With Federation and non-Federation worlds alike feeling the impact, they must confront the unknown and work together to ensure a hopeful future for all. So again, description doesn't really give a huge amount away, other than, you know, we know that they're now in this kind of undiscovered future. We know from the events of last season that they're starting to sort of put the Federation back together. Burnham is now captain. I do wonder how they're going to handle Saru, with Saru not being captain this season.
Presumably
there's going to be a side plot with him going back to his homeworld and that sort of stuff, but
The weird thing where, like, well, not the weird thing, but interesting part where Michael was like, okay, I'm not the captain, you are. He took over and then he walked away a bit and then she's the captain again. So yeah, they've sort of wrestled over that a little bit. So I don't know.
Yeah, but I am looking forward to that. Plus, they have shiny new uniforms. So for all you cosplayers out there, new uniforms for you to play with. They're quite cool, actually, the new uniforms. They look really good. So
Does this seem surprisingly quick to you, how they've got this season out? Because Discovery only finished in January.
Yeah, I think they pretty much ran straight from filming last season to this season, because whilst they had were sort of set up for filming, they basically said, let's just keep going, I think. So they almost ran from the end of the one season straight into the next one. So it has been a very fast turnaround, but they've done a phenomenal job being able to do that.
Yeah, because I wasn't quite expecting Discovery back this year.
No.
I thought it maybe been. I actually thought Picard would possibly be this year and Discovery would be next year, but
yeah, well, you've got to remember Picard's a trickier thing to film because of the fact that the age of Patrick Stewart is probably a factor in terms of filming during COVID, although he is vaccinated now, so you know there is because I'm fairly sure he had his vaccination done. That was always going to be an issue. It's interesting, as I think I mentioned on the other show, how they're sort of protecting older actors more so in this. It's the same issue with Succession, because Brian Cox, the lead actor in that, is getting on in age, so they've got to be very, very careful when you're dealing with older actors when they're lead characters. So I suspect there's an abundance of caution behind Picard, partly because of the fact that they don't want to risk killing off Patrick Stewart, whereas Discovery were already shooting the end of the third season, I think, and I think they just ran straight into the fourth season as fast as they could. So I'm very glad that that's going to be coming back and they're going to be churning through those. Don't know exactly when, but I suspect the end of the year. It'll be autumn, I would think. And Lower Decks, as I mentioned earlier, the second season of that is coming. They've announced a premiere date on Paramount in the US, which is the 12th of August. Don't know when that's going to land in the UK. I think they dropped it as a box set last year, but it may be that they put it out weekly this time around, because I think the reason it got dropped as a box set last year was because they hadn't signed the deal at that point. So it's possible that they'll put it out weekly this year, but I don't know. It is definitely going out on Amazon Prime. They were actually included this as part of the press release this time around, so there's no guessing. They have got the seasons. Discovery will be coming to Netflix. Lower Decks and Picard will be coming to Amazon Prime internationally. The deals are still continuing, they're all still in place. But yeah, Lower Decks in August for season two on Paramount in the US. We'll have to wait and see exactly when it lands, but it will obviously be sometime after that on Amazon in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to other Netflix franchise series, The Witcher Blood Origin, which is this prequel thing, has lost one of its leads. Jodie Turner Smith has unfortunately had to leave due to a scheduling conflict. Basically, The Witcher Blood Origin was supposed to shoot a while ago and it got bumped a little bit because of COVID and, you know, them having to move things around. I think partly because of the fact that the main shoot got bumped, and obviously there was crew from both shows involved in the same thing, so they had to bump Blood Origins a little bit. And unfortunately, she has other projects that she'd already signed up to, so where she has had to leave. Jodie Turner Smith was from The Last Ship and Night Flyers, that other Netflix series. She was due to play Ellie, who was an elite warrior blessed with the voice of a goddess who had left Doctor, clad in the position of Queen's Guardian, to follow her heart as a nomadic musician. A grand reckoning on the continent forces her to return to the ways of the Blade in her quest for vengeance and redemption. The party's now going to be recast. They haven't announced who is taking over the role yet, but they're going to have to find somebody new to do that. It's a real shame. But, you know, we're seeing a little bit of this. We've had a few people have to drop out of projects because the scheduling's got moved around. It's an IRA thriller called Borderland, I suspect, is probably the thing. It's a film she's doing with Felicity Jones and John Boyega. I suspect that's probably the thing that it's clashed up against. She's also starring in the new psychological drama Anne Boleyn, which is coming to Channel 5. It's one of their new dramas that Channel 5 have started making. It's weird. Mm-hmm. The quality on sort of the E4 stuff has gone down and the quality on the Channel 5 stuff has gone up, mother's So that's the Anne Boleyn drama, which is a Channel 5 original drama that she's starring in as well. So yeah, it's a shame that's happened, but we have got the other cast member, which we announced a couple of weeks ago, Lawrence O'Furan, I think is his name, who's been in things like Vikings and Game of Thrones and Into the Badlands. He's taking on the other lead role, which is Fajal, who is familiar
with swords.
Yes, very familiar with swords. He's playing Fajal, who is born into a clan of warriors sworn to protect the king, but carries a deep scar within, the death of a loved one who fell in battle trying to save him, a scar that won't let him settle or make peace with himself or the world around him. In a quest for redemption, Fajal finds himself fighting beside the most unlikely of allies when he carves a path for vengeance across the continent in turmoil. That's his character. I am quite looking forward to this. It sounds like it's been done as a limited series, so it's a sort of one-off thing set 12,000 years before the worlds of the Witcher. Tells the story of the creation of the first prototype Witcher and events leading to the pivotal conjunction of the spheres when the world of monsters, men and elves all merge to become one. So it's set in very deep in the history of the Witcher. It has got the original author on as a creative consultant, so it is all going to be kind of properly canon. They are not messing around. It's not something that they've just kind of pulled out as a cash thing. It is going to be something which is very much set within the world and under the creative control of the original author as well. And it's Lawrence Mitisharitch, who is the showrunner on The Witcher, who is the person behind it, and Declan de Barrett, who worked on The Witcher and the originals, is the exec producer and showrunner on it as well. But I'm looking forward to that. We don't know when it's going to land, but it looks like it could be quite good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that as well. I really enjoyed the first season of The Witcher. That was quite a day for me. But I'm looking forward to both the second season and this one. But yeah, if there's like a limited story to kind of tell, then yeah, do it as a like one-off kind of season. I don't really need like a prequel and The Witcher to be kind of running at the same time.
No.
Different with something like Better Call Saul, because obviously, you know, Breaking Bad finished ages ago and now we've got a prequel running kind of on its own. So yeah, as long as they kind of schedule them well and that kind of thing, I think it will go quite well. So, but yeah, first season was a success and I'm looking forward to both. So
yeah. I suspect, given this isn't shot yet, it will drop after the second season of The Witcher, because the second season of The Witcher has wrapped filming.
Yeah.
I suspect that we'll get The Witcher season 2 first and then this will come.
Should now be this year, season 2?
I hope so, if they've finished. I mean, they said they finished production, but I guess though it's going to be all the FX and that sort of stuff to do. So
maybe reshoots possibly.
Yeah, possibly, but I would think not. I would think they're probably fully wrapped at this point, so it's going to be more the effects and tidying up and editing and that sort of thing. Hopefully later this year for that. Moving on to our last story, Marvel's She-Hulk series has added a new actress, Renee Elsie Goldsberry, who might not be a name you recognise, but if you watched Hamilton on Disney Plus, she played Angelica Schuyler in Hamilton. That's probably where she's best known from. She is going to be joining the show alongside Tatiana Maslany, who's playing Jennifer Walters, and Ginger Gonzaga, who is playing Walter's best friend. You've got Tim Roth in there reprising his incredible Hulk role as Abomination. Mark Ruffalo, we know, is going to be in there as Bruce Banner. Recent rumours apparently have suggested the return of Kirsten Ritter as Jessica Jones in this, although that may be fan wishful thinking. And given that the whole premise of She-Hulk series is that she is an attorney, you would have thought that Matt Murdock would be a more obvious one to maybe show up in this series than Jessica Jones, but you know.
I do hope to see those characters back at some point. Because I think the rights are back with
Yes, the rights have all Disney, reverted back. Sure. So yeah, it would be nice if we could see them kind of popping up, even if they're not getting their own full shows, which I think would be difficult to do on Disney Plus, but maybe you could do them as Hulu series.
There is a Hulu starter, yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe you would have to do them as Hulu series just because of the level of content. I don't know, maybe you could get away with it and tone them down a little bit, but I know fans would complain about the fact that they're not as kind of edgy as they were, so you're kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't, I think, with that.
Yeah.
But I like Rini a lot. I mean, I only really know her from playing Angelica in Hamilton, but she seemed to do a very good job in that. I love Tatiana Maslany, as we know, because Orphan Black was awesome. So I'm very much looking forward to this series. I think this could be really fun, particularly as it's described as a half-hour legal comedy, is what they're actually doing it as. So despite the fact that it's a sort of superhero thing, it sounds like they're going for sort of a slightly more off-the-wall thing, in the same way that WandaVision was kind of this weird mix of normal Marvel stuff, and then it's got this sitcom vibe going on. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it might be a bit more in that vein. So the setup is she's a criminal. Jennifer Walters, played by Maslany, is a criminal defense lawyer who finds herself transformed into the sensational She-Hulk after an emergency blood transfusion from her cousin Bruce Banner. So that's the setup for it. But we don't know when that's going to land. But I think they may have started shooting that yet, or they're about to start shooting that. So
it's either that or Miss Marvel. I think Miss Marvel might have started.
Yes, maybe it's Miss Marvel that's shooting. Yeah. But
might be both of them anyway.
Yeah. So it's going to be one of the ones that's probably going to be next year, I think, that one. But I'm looking forward to that. I think that should be mm-hmm. fun.
Yeah, because there is quite a lot of Marvel content scheduled for this year, actually.
Yeah.
You're still supposed to get, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but Hawkeye, Miss Marvel, Black Widow, obviously the rest of Falcon, Winter Soldier, Loki. Mm. Is Eternals this year? Or is it next year?
Yes, Marvel.
I think Doctor Strange is next year. Spider-Man's this year.
Loki, Black Widow, the What If animated series, Shang-Chi, Miss Marvel, Eternals, Hawkeye, Spider-Man are the ones we've got left for this year. So
cool. I'm already 4 months into the year, so
yeah,
a lot still to come. But I'm looking forward to She-Hulk. I think they've done a really good job so far with the casting and everything, especially bringing, like, you know, the big surprise of is it Tim Roth back as Abomination? You're talking about all the way back to the Hulk films that kind of sort of aren't associated with the MCU. They're still canon, I suppose, but it's a bit like a bit of a different thing. But it's I've quite liked, actually, the way that because people like Darcy and Jimmy Woo and I can't remember her name, but Emily Van Camp's character, those sort of like smaller characters coming back and having arguably quite important roles, I think has been quite good. So bringing Tim Roth back as well, I think, is going to be good. We'll see what they do. But also makes sense, you know, have Mark Ruffalo's Hulk in there and kind of go from there. So yeah. And again, you know, having Tatiana in there, I think, is going to be very, very good as well.
Yeah, so. Well, she's a fantastic actress. So I think, and I can see her doing this sort of comedy role really quite well. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no doubt about her talent, certainly.
Yeah, yeah. So don't know when that's going to land, but that's probably going to be next year sometime. We'll have to wait and see for that. So that's all the news we've got for this week. Now we'll move on to some highlights for next week on TV. Highlights for next week. We have Harrow returning for its third season on Alibi on the 14th of April at 9 p.m. So that is back. I watched a few episodes of the first season of that. That was quite enjoyable. Huh. Jamie Foxx sitcom called Dad, Stop Embarrassing Me. This is very much a full-blown sitcom with Jamie Foxx in the lead role, sort of going back to his roots. This is on the 14th of April on Netflix. This lands. It's entirely Jamie Foxx invention, I think. It's based, I think, on sort of dealing with his daughters and stuff. That seems like it could be quite good fun, particularly if you're a fan of Jamie Foxx. Grown-ish seasons 1 and 2 are landing on Star on Disney Plus. That's on the 16th of April. This is the spin-off from Black-ish, which sees the teenage daughter Zoe head to college. Season 1 and 2 of that are coming on the 16th of April, and then season 3 will follow on Star as well. So that will be the home for that. Mythic Quest, as I mentioned earlier, 16th of April, there is a one-off special coming for that, which is the show set in a video game development company from the people behind Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's brilliant, that series. Go and watch it. Leonardo, which stars Aidan Turner as Leonardo da Vinci. This is a series coming to Amazon Prime on the 16th of April. It's from Franz Spodnix, who is the guy behind Man in the High Castle. It looks like it could be quite a good drama, that, so go and check that out. Leonardo, 16th of April, Amazon Prime. Call the Midwife back for its 10th season. That's on the 18th of April at 8 p.m. on BBC One. Batwoman returns for its second season on E4. That's on the 18th of April at 8 p.m. Seems the dart landed in the right place for a change. That's not bad going, really, because there have been quite a lot of breaks in the scheduling for that. So they've removed quite a lot of the breaks out of it. I mean, we will still be a bit behind, but that's not too bad considering it's E4 and what their programming's been like. It also means that by the time Sky bring theirs back, it might, you know, if there's any crossovers coming up, because I think there was supposed to be a crossover with Superman.
I think that got cancelled.
Did it? Okay.
Yeah.
That's probably a good thing for this year. So, that's season two of Batwoman. That's coming to E4 on the 18th of April at 8 p.m., which unfortunately means that they're probably going to edit it to death. But it is airing, which is good. Superstore, as mentioned earlier, that's back on the 19th of April at 7:30 on ITV2 for its final season. Ackley Bridge is back for season 4. That's on the 19th of April at 6 p.m. So that's quite early. They've changed the format of that. I think it's gone from being like an hour long to a half hour show. They've completely altered the format for that, but that is back on Channel 4. That's the 19th of April for Ackley Bridge. And Mayor of Easttown, which is coming on the 19th of April to Sky Atlantic. I haven't got a time for that, but it's like 9 or 10 p.m. That's Kate Winslet, exec producer and stars in a limited series, is a small-town Pennsylvania detective who investigates a local murder as her life crumbles around her. Decent HBO quality drama thing. That's called Mayor of Easttown, and that's coming to Sky Atlantic on the 19th of April.
Where's the Nevers?
Ah, yes. That has launched in the US, but for some reason, which I don't quite understand, rather than going out next day in the UK, they're saving them all up and dumping it as a box set in a few weeks. So it's not out yet over here, but it is out in America. It's not out yet over here. They're going to drop it as a box set later on next month, I think. It's split into two halves. So the first 6 episodes, so it's the first half going out later in May, I think they're dropping
that. HBO don't usually do that.
No, I mean, HBO are putting it out weekly. Sky don't usually do that.
Oh, right. Okay.
So, Sky don't usually do that, but that's what they've decided to do with the show for this time. I don't know what the reasoning is, but that's what they've decided to do. That will be coming soon. Seems to have had reasonable reviews, though, from the first episode. I've seen sort of mixed bag of reviews, but generally
that's
with the fans.
That's basically what I've seen.
Generally with fans, they seem to have quite liked it, so we'll see. That's everything we've got for this week. If they want to find more of your stuff, where can they find you, Matt?
If you want to find more of my podcasts, there's quite a few of them, as we established yesterday.
Yes.
Entertainmenttalk.org, TV, video games, films, and actually quite a good game of Man United yesterday. 3-1. It was very, very good, actually, because we moved the ball around faster and kicked it forwards. It's usually what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
So, some really, really good goals yesterday. But so you can find all that entertainmenttalk.org. Go and check out yesterday's big podcast. So it's just over an hour long, actually, so it's not too long to listen to. But it was a lot of fun, and it was cool to chat to everybody on that. So for those of you that have listened to Entertainment Talk and stuff, thank you for supporting me for 5 years. It's weird that it's already been 5 years.
So. Yes.
And also, if you want to watch me play video games live at certain points, Twitch, eTalk UK on there. If you miss any of the streams, they'll all be archived on the YouTube channel Entertainment Talk Plays on YouTube. So you can have a look over there.
Yep. So go and check Matt out over there. For other people involved in the show, you can, of course, go and get Bex over on twitch.tv/TristanBytes. That's B-Y-T-E-S. She's streaming daily and various evenings and pretty much full time. So go and check out her channel over there. It's very, very, very funny, and you can go and make fun of her, which is always highly entertaining as well. Go and check Bex out on twitch.tv/TristanBytes. Daryl, you can find at hollywoodnorthnews.net for lots and lots of shows that are shot in Canada. You can find those over there. Grey, you can go and find at Grey the Geek on Twitter. That's Grey with an A, Grey the Geek over on Twitter. You can go and find Grey over there. And for us, you can go to geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. You can get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post, find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at geektownuk. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye bye.
Goodbye.
it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.